As teachers prepare for the start of remote learning this fall, those who teach American history and civics are deciding how they'll talk to students about the murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and the social justice movement that developed over the summer. Dana Vollmer talks with University High social studies teacher Kate Pohl about how teachers can help students process these events.
We need to be able to keep talking about it. I need them to recognize, I'm sorry, we might not have those answers and we might not have them for months or even years, but I also don't want you to forget that story. Because, hey, even though you saw the viral video on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram, whatever it was, especially if you're a white student, you can walk away from it and say, okay, I've put my time in with that story. I don't need to think about it anymore. But I think about my students of color, that is not the case for them. So we're going to talk about it in a couple of ways, but I also need to make sure that we're not talking every single day about people of color being traumatized. We need to talk about agency. We need to talk about change. We need to talk about things that are positive, action that they can take, action that is being taken, so that they also see progress and forward momentum. To be fair here, I also have to approach it very delicately for my white students, because everybody's in a different place, right? Just even getting students and adults to figure out and understand what white privilege means, and that it's not a personal attack on them as a white person. Those are very slow, difficult conversations that are ongoing.
And so how do you facilitate those difficult conversations?
For some students in particular, for all students, but some more than others, you're inducing trauma by having those discussions, asking someone to relive what has happened. However, to not address it, to follow the ways of color blindness is equally problematic, because it's not recognizing students' personal experiences with race. And, as a white woman, as a white teacher, I understand that there are things that some of my students have gone through and will go through that I won't understand because that is their identity, not mine. So I think this is something teachers are really good at that most people maybe don't recognize, is that myself and all of my colleagues that I know, we actually put a lot of time into practicing how to have civil conversations. And there are all sorts of teaching tools to do this. Just to give you one example, and this is a technique I picked up from a colleague of mine, we might practice something called four corners. So I'm going to have one corner of the room be I agree, one be I strongly agree, one be I strongly disagree, and one be I disagree. And I might put a claim up on the board about anything, some historical claim. Systemic racism impacts the progress of people of color disproportionately than white people. Okay, now go stand in the corner to what extent do you agree with this statement? If one group speaks up, let's say the strongly agree group speaks up. If the strongly disagree group wants to speak back to them, the first thing they have to do is rearticulate what the first group said or the first person said, to the point that the person in the other corner says, yeah, boy, that's exactly what I meant. In fact, you said it better than I did.
There's a lot of criticism about the way that history, and in particular race relations and the civil rights movement, is taught. So how do we do better about documenting and developing curriculum around today's events?
Yeah, I think that's such a good question. And there are so many, it's a tough answer, but I think it requires a commitment from every single teacher and every single administrator, regardless of subject area. There needs to be an absolute commitment from administration to say, we're not just going to have one day in the whole year where we called in somebody to talk about diversity and now we can check that box and say it's done. It has to be ongoing. There should be school-wide conversations. There needs to be safe spaces for kids. There needs to be clubs for kids. We also need to include parents and the community. This is not, we are educating the community's children, so they should also be a part of those discussions.
Talk more about how parents can play a role in their students' learning in this area.
One of the best things in the world is, as our teachers are saying, here's the book we're going to add, here's why we're adding it, not just in light of what's happened in recent events, but there seems no better time to do this. Please read with us, so that as students do come home and say, boy, I had never heard this before, did you know this, what do you think of this, that whatever conversations happen in our classroom continue at home.